Hi, how are y'all?
Keep doing good.
Good. We are super excited. We're glad that you were able to join us today.
Thank y'all for being able to meet earlier. I'm excited.
No problem at all. So we're just going to jump right in. I'm Gorielle.
And I'm Andrea.
And you are listening to Lux Lifestyle. Well, you're watching Lux Lifestyle today. Today we have a very special guest, Miss Sheridan Labby. Am I saying your last name correctly?
LeBay.
Okay. Miss Sheridan LeBay. And she is the owner of Untamed Lingerie and Untamed Marketing. So we are super excited. We're going to have a really great conversation today. And we know that her voice is one that we feel will make a difference in this conversation and with just what's going on in the world today. So we just want to give you a second to kind of introduce yourself to our audience. Those of them may or may not know you. So let's get to know Ms. Sheridan.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Sheridan LeBay. I am a Houston born native. My background is in marketing. I have been in marketing since I could work. So I've loved marketing, love people. So I've worked in marketing literally since undergrad. And then recently, I say recently, within the last 3 years, launched my second business, Untamed Lingerie. So really just, I've always had a passion for helping people and helping women especially. So that's turned into me helping women with their businesses to helping women in their personal lives. So definitely excited and grateful to be here today.
All right. And we're excited to have you. Now, how we normally start our show is we start with thank God for emojis. This is where we take a second to use an emoji to express how our life is going thus far. So I guess I'll start off. My emoji is the emoji with the star in the eyes.
Okay.
I am feeling very optimistic for what is to come in my life. I'm having a procedure done and I'm really optimistic that it will work and kind of help me with the pain that I've been going through. So that's my emoji.
And my emoji would be the happy face emoji. I'm happy, I'm motivated. I'm in a transition in my life right now. So I'm trying to make the best of it, as well as like try to look for opportunities to enhance what I already have going on for myself. So it's more of like me refining myself at 27. So my happy emoji is like, I'm motivated. I'm ready for whatever the world's going to give me at this point.
Yes. My emoji, I don't know the name for it, but it's like the excited face. But then, you know, like where it's like, it looks like two little, like not equal signs, the greater than signs, like facing outwardly where it's like overly excited. That's me. Yeah. It's like, I'm excited. Kind of similar to what you were saying. Like I'm in a lot of transitions in my life too. And I'm just very excited for what's happening and what's to come. And I'm just like overwhelmed with gratitude because there's so many good things happening.
Oh, that is a great one.
I like that.
So moving right along, we talk about our life, what's going on. And now we want to talk about what's going on in the lives of everybody else. Okay. Now we're going into what's really going on. This is where we talk about our topics that are happening, trending topics, and anything that we feel is important.
Okay.
So just jogging right into it, we're going to talk about Moneybag Joe.
Yeah, the stimulus to 1400.
I think you said Moneybag Yo at first, and I was like, I don't really have anything to contribute to the conversation, but I do have something to say. Let's talk about it.
So we're
patiently waiting.
That was the most hilarious thing that they could have come up with to calling him Moneybag Joe. Like,
our generation is like, the creativity is unmatched. Like, we make everything a joke. Like, everything is a joke.
It's literally unique. In the video, they say he spammed his pin down. I was like, yeah, that's how you know it's certified.
We dropped the mic.
By Monday or Tuesday, possibly.
The city back open.
We know that this is kind of one of the biggest bills that they've ever passed. So I think that it's it's going to be very helpful to Americans that need the assistance, but it's going to be helpful to like schools and the community at large. So I'm very excited to see the greatness that can come from this.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to figure out a little bit more about this vaccine and we can just get COVID a little bit more under control. So I'm feeling Money Back Joe for right now.
I'm here accepting all checks that come my way. So I'm not turning down any money.
Okay. I'm sure will. Yeah. I appreciate it.
That is cash and delivery. Thank you.
And speaking of America, you know, coming into our own, what about Coming to America Part 2? Have you seen that one, the new movie?
I have not.
Me either. She has, though. So I'm just,
okay.
I'm an original person. I like the original. I'm just like, I don't want to ruin my
I've heard mixed reviews. I heard a lot of people said they watched it, of course, because like you have to watch it to see what it's like. But they were like, it was like the perfect amount of corny, but it was good. So I don't know. I think I'm going to end up watching it. I know I will. I just don't know when.
To me, I feel like there will never be another Coming to America.
Oh, no.
So we can't even have those high expectations for it to be the same. Mm-hmm. But for what it is and what it represents for where we are today, it's really good. It's funny. It has its high points, its low points. And it really talks about the barriers that women have to go through when trying to... just be a woman. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really good laugh. It's a good comedy. Leslie Jones.
Sounds like a Sunday afternoon movie.
Yes.
I've done all my chores for the day.
Leslie Jones is hilarious in this movie. Leslie Jones.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
If you've seen her in other things, just take that and put it into this movie times 10. Like, she's funny. So whenever y'all get a chance, if you hadn't had the opportunity to watch it either.
I'll watch it.
I'm giving it to you. You need to watch it. And your own opinion on it.
Yeah. I've been trying to catch up on a lot of Netflix stuff. So I'm like, I had a list of things to watch. So I'm like, okay, that's next on the list.
Okay, this wasn't a part of it, but since you brought up Netflix, Behind Her Eyes. If you have not watched Behind Her Eyes, watch Behind Her Eyes.
It's good.
It's amazing. It has so many twists and turns that you didn't even think it was going to happen.
It's very like Inception-ish. Like you'll be like, because you're in the movie, you're like, so is this what this is?
Yeah.
Or is this not what this is? Like you'll be like, what just happened?
I didn't understand, especially some of the parts I didn't really piece together until the end. So it's one of those TV shows that you have to like seriously like really tune in and watch every day. You cannot be distracted. You have
I watched two episodes at least twice because I would start getting sleepy and I'm like, you know, Netflix, they're like, oh, you watched this whole episode, and I'm like,
no, I
don't remember doing that. So I have to go back. I just watched, I finished. Did y'all watch Jenny in Georgia?
Yes.
No.
Episode 7. So it's I haven't finished it yet.
Stuff that's like family movies, but still involving like some murder mystery.
Yeah.
it's like Gilmore Girls.
Like I'm just catching up on Snowfall, y'all. I'm so sorry. So I'm like, I'm in that realm.
I heard
like,
it was good.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love it. It's way better than Power.
It's the bomb. Snowfall is the bomb.
Way better than Power.
Yes, way better. I love Power, but that one works for Snowfall.
Ooh, okay, I'll have to watch it then because that's saying a lot.
It's top tier.
I'm personally not a Power lover. I probably only watched like 3 episodes of the last season.
Man, so girl, I watched first again in season 1, 3, 5, 6. it was a twist and turn for me.
So while we're talking about that, we need to also talk about, as I said, the barriers that women kind of go through when going back to Coming to America. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about Meghan Markle's interview with Oprah.
Yes.
I didn't see that one, but I did see clips.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have a lot of insight because I didn't watch it either, but I gathered enough. You know, Twitter basically catches you up on
emails. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I feel like at that point, you don't even have to watch it sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess to hit some points, Meghan Markle is basically saying that she went through a lot being in the royal family.
Right.
And one of the major things that kind of stood out was the racism that she had to just take on while she was in the family. And Pierce Morgan is a commentator that I guess primarily just believe he feels that anything that Meghan Markle says is a lie. If she said the sky was blue, he feels like that's a lie. He wouldn't believe it. And we've seen throughout this week how different people have their perspective or their take on kind of what happened. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that kind of stood out to me, which has been big, is Sharon Osbourne.
Like, knowing her, I'm like, I can only imagine what her take is. I'm curious to what it is.
So basically, her and Pierce Morgan are really good friends, mm-hmm. and she feels as though she wanted to be educated on exactly what he did that was considered racist. So she and Cheryl Underwood kind of had a very heated moment on the talk.
Yeah.
Cheryl Underwood. Yes. And I'll talk about Cheryl Underwood in a second. Sharon Osbourne had the audacity to police the emotion that Cheryl was supposed to have in response. She told her, can you explain to me where he said racism or racist things, or can you educate me on what I need to know?
See, that was the part that really got it, though. The part that really got it was when she told Cheryl Underwood that you have no right to cry. I should be the one that's crying. And yes, that's the exact face that I made. I was like, she said, don't you try to cry, because if anything, I should be the one that's crying. And I'm like, that's a dismissal of like our feelings already in the work.
That is gaslighting and everything, girl.
Amen.
So not only did we get that crumple of it towards the end, which was very disheartening to see, was that Cheryl wasn't able to truly express herself the way that she wanted to, because, you know, when Black women express themselves, we're seen as the angry Black woman, the aggressor. There's always something negative about the way that we respond. So she ended up having to apologize to
Cheryl. Spirit.
Yes. She apologized to her. Yes, it's a lot to take.
It's a lot to not get angry about.
Yes.
It's like, why am I apologizing to you for racist remarks that someone else had that I'm communicating to you how I felt?
Right.
Sharon took it as if she felt like they were calling her a racist because she was defending Pierce. But I mean, in a way, you are. I mean, you're being racist because you're allowing him
birds of a feather. Yeah, and you're not holding him accountable.
Exactly, and that was the issue.
It's you're the having to apologize to me.
Right? And Cheryl, you know, Cheryl Underwood having to like police her emotions already shows how Black women in America, how we have to police our emotions with everything.
Right,
our clothes, our hair, at school, at home. It just goes into like how we, you know, over sexualization of us too as a woman as well. Like, we can't be who we are, we have to hide our true identity.
It's always something. Things.
It's always
I think it's just always something. And I think as a fellow Black woman, at some point you're just like over it. You know, it's like at some point you're just like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you're just like, I'm gonna just be me, because regardless, someone's going to be offended or somebody's going to want me to tone it down or answer to this, to where you get to that point where you're just like, well, I just might as well be authentically who I'm going to be, because y'all are going to find an issue with it regardless.
Right.
So if I'm going to make you mad, I want to make you mad knowing I did something that I wanted
to.
That I was okay with my choices. It's just, it's a struggle. And I think social media makes it worse, because everybody has an opinion. Everybody feels like their opinion is valid, and people are not really open to other people's opinions via social media. So it just causes a lot of people feel entitled to correcting you on your opinion, or feel like if you don't agree with them, that you are just the worst human being in the world. Like, everybody can't have different opinions and different life experiences.
Exactly. And I am like a firm believer in accepting everybody's opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like your opinion. I don't have to agree with you, but we can agree to disagree. You've said your piece, I've said my piece. That's your opinion on that particular subject, and we can move on. Mm-hmm. But don't try to make me feel bad about how I'm feeling about
it. Don't make me apologize for having a differing opinion like that. But a lot of people are delusional in that manner, though. I think that's something that, like, I've realized as a woman just in my, like, friendships and relationships, where you can have a disagreement with somebody and they will put you in a position to feel like you're in the wrong to the point of having to apologize. And it's like, that's not really how this works. Like, it's okay for us to have differing opinions, but I don't think that I'm in a place to apologize because you don't see the world like how I see it, unless I've offended you. And most of the time you're not offending people. People just can't handle the fact that other truths exist outside of what they consider to be true.
That's it. Right. Oh, that was perfect.
It was.
And we can transition right into our topic from that.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. So our topic is over-sexualization of young Black girls and the policing of our bodies. And based on, you know, being a business owner and working with lingerie and being a Black woman as well, have you experienced, you know, scenarios where you were told that you couldn't wear a certain thing because it made you look a certain way compared to someone else who may have had the same outfit on, but there's no problem with that?
My entire childhood. Yes. Yeah. I'm naturally a bigger chested woman. And I remember my mom is very conservative. So from a young age, if I bought something that was V-neck, I had to have a camel under it. Like, if I really couldn't even, there was one point in time where, like, my jeans were too big. Like, my dad was even like, why do you have these bags? I'm like, Mom bought these big jeans that I can't fit. Like, I didn't buy these. So from a young age, and as I got older, I started to become more comfortable in my body. Like, I think when I went to college, I would wear certain stuff, even like, and I say certain stuff to where other people, it's like a normal shirt, right? Mm-hmm. I would wear something that may be tight and people are like, oh my God, I didn't even know you had boobs like that, because you were always wearing something that was, you know, baggy. So definitely from a young age, you know, and of course, I think our mothers mean well for the most part, but you get to an age where you're like, okay, we only get one body. Right. So I'm going to wear it and show it off, you know.
Damn. So,
yeah, definitely. That's definitely been something I experienced where, as I've gotten older, I'm like, even now, I still do it with certain things where, you know, you're going out and you have like two outfits. One outfit's like, you're safe. You always wear the same type of look. And one is like, it might not even be more sexier. It's just like out of your comfort zone.
Right.
I'm starting to be like, go wear the outfit that's cute and sexy. You only get one body. You only gonna be 28 once. Go wear this. So even now, I'm still having to like consciously be like, don't always wear what you just feel comfortable and that's your normal wearing.
So I know, like, for me, I've always been heavier topped as well. Mm-hmm. I've probably been wearing a bra since like the first grade.
Yeah, relatable.
I can even go back as far as I didn't realize that I was different per se from everybody else, because I was just me. And one of the things that I think is the first time where I realized that I was different from every other girl was I was in my music class. I was sitting next to one of my boyfriends and we were kind of playing. So he hits me, and I guess he accidentally hits my chest, and he raises his hand and he says, L'Oreal has one my mom has. And at that moment, I'm just like, what the heck?
Like what's happening?
And then at that moment, I had to realize that I was more developed than other girls in my grade.
Yeah.
So I can even think of another time where I was walking my grandmother and my aunt, her sister, they lived probably two houses down from each other. So we were able to walk back and forth to the houses. And one day I was walking, I had to be like in the third or fourth grade. And I had on a long sleeve shirt, some regular, just some pants, and I'm walking to my nana's house. As I'm walking, these guys blow the horn at me, and I look up, I ignore it, and I go about my way. I go into my nana's house, and my uncle comes from randomly somewhere from around the street and is, you're acting grown. You're trying to be a fast tail ass little girl and blah, blah, blah.
I'm just walking down the street.
Right. And I'm like, I'm wrong because I was walking down the street, not the fact that the men were looking at a teenage girl and blowing the horn.
Right.
Well, that's the world. So this is something I've always missed. Like, I've never understood, right? So I have a little brother. And of course, in my household, we didn't really talk about sex either way, regardless. But I've never understood how, as a culture, it's like, oh, we talk to women about virginity and purity and modesty, but then you're teaching your sons like, oh, go sow your oats, go do this, this, and this. And it's like, who are your sons having sex with? I mean, granted, they might not all be having sex with women, but for the majority that this applies to. So it's just, it's always, to me, it's always been misaligned, like how we were raised, because it's like, you're raising your sons to go do this, but then you're telling your daughters to stay at home. And it's like, who are your sons going to be going to do this with? I just feel like there's always is a misalignment with just how we're educated about sex, and a lot of men aren't held accountable for, like you said, not blowing your horn at an underage girl. Like, that I shouldn't have to change my clothes because you don't know how to control yourself. Like, that's just always been something I've just never, I understand like wanting to be safe, but it's like people should just not be horrible people. Start there.
And that's where over sexualization starts at the home. You know, your mother telling you not to wear shorts, and it's 90 degrees outside, and because somebody coming over, it's hot outside, and you want to put on some pants because something's coming over.
I remember that as a high schooler. Like, I used to play basketball, but I love like cheerleader shorts. So I had cheerleader shorts, and my dad was like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'm about to go to the Y down the street." He's like, "In this," and it's like, people should just not be perverts and be
That is it, period.
You don't stop selling alcohol because there's alcoholics. You tell people to stop being an alcoholic. Like, that's how I feel about it across the board. Like, people need to stop being alcoholics. Not, we're just going to stop selling alcohol because half the population doesn't know their limit.
Right. And that's what I think basically kind of hinders women's growth, I guess, in their self-awareness and their self-confidence in themselves, because we're so used to having to police ourselves when we do get to a point in our lives where we want to embrace our sexuality or our inner femininity. We're scared because we've been taught all these years, hide this, don't wear, cover up here, do that. And it's really hard to kind of break that. I think kind of based on what you said, I really agree as far as when you get to a certain age, 27, 28, when you get to past 25, you start embracing who you are. Yeah. Right? You don't care about what anybody else has to say.
I heard 30 is a sweet spot. I heard everybody says when you turn 30, it's like the notch even goes up a little further where you're just like, I don't care. But to your point too, something else that I've had to grown out of, I guess, so to speak, is my thing I always struggle with is that I'm a naturally very friendly, flirtatious person, right? And so I've always felt like I need to tone that down because I feel like men don't know the difference between someone being friendly versus like, oh, she's into me now, let me pursue her, let's do this, let's do that. And that's always been another thing where it's like women can't even be nice and a little flirty without you thinking I want to talk to you like that. No, like, you know, so that's always been something where I'm just like, okay, well, where's the fine line between me being myself and me being like, well, let me not be too nice because he might think I have a crush on him, and then I gotta, you know, hide from him.
Like, the world strips away our feminine identity and expects us to know how to be in that role without giving us a chance to be in that role. Right. So for like with your company, like, you have more like your lingerie is perfect. You know, it's like some women are very self-conscious. They're just like, I don't know if I look good in this. I don't know if I can wear that to be appropriate. And I find myself doing that with everything. I'm like, should I get lingerie? You know, I'm just like, I don't just feel cool because that was stripped away from me as a young age. So you and your company, how did you find the power to, like, you know, showcase lingerie and show everyone every body type and every body size? And how did you get into that realm?
Yeah, that's a good question. So out of undergrad, I started doing marketing. So I was doing like freelance marketing, all type of stuff. People were asking me for anything that had to do with marketing. And so I started hosting events. I did a lot of events in undergrad. And so as I got older, I was like, I'll host women's events. I'll do different small intimate gatherings. And so in that time, I did a retreat where I was a part of a retreat. And so most of the women were like older women. I say older, like late 30s, 40s, some married, some had kids, some divorced, all of things you could think of. And so a couple of them were like relationship therapists, sex therapists, or they were just very involved in some type of sexual health education. And I was just like, man, like I just was so inspired by being around them empowered me, like in my sensuality and sexuality. So I was like, man, she is 45 and she is killing it. She knows more about, you know, or she's more like jovial or youthful in her sexuality than I am at 27 or 25. So being around them really opened me up to like another world, right? And so around 25, 26 was the year for me where I was just like, you know, I know I possess the sensual side of me and I really want to own it. And so initially when I started Untamed Lingerie, I was like, I want a platform for women that it's not just lingerie, but like we may sell sex toys, we may sell Yanni eggs. We're going to provide information because I felt like everywhere you looked, whether you're looking at porn, whether you're going to a sex shop, it's not catered towards women. It's catered towards men. It's catered towards Caucasian men. It's catered towards male pleasure. Nothing was catered towards female pleasure or just like women being sensual. And I felt like, and I still feel like sensuality and sexuality are two different things. Like those are two different energies. And so that was really the immediate inspiration behind Untamed, because I was like, I just want us to have a place where we can learn all of these things. Like there are women that are teaching about tantra and teaching about how to make yourself orgasm or types of orgasm, just learning your body or learning how to even embody femininity, which is a huge conversation now in our communities because most Black women, we weren't raised to be feminine and soft, right. But now we're desiring it because, you know, whether in any type of relationship, a lot of us are desiring more masculine energy and we're realizing, okay, we have to tap into our femininity to even be aligned with that. And so that really spurred kind of just like a rabbit hole of like lingerie. I always tell people like lingerie gets you through the door, but then we have so many other like resources and like events that I host where it's more than just the lingerie. Like the lingerie is like the icing on the cake. When you get okay. to the cake, you're like, oh, they're doing workshops about something, or I can meet the sex therapist. It's really just empowering women to figure out what Untamed means to them, because for every woman that's totally different, but figuring out what that means towards you and realizing there are different, they say modalities or different modalities where you can really tune into that and continue to nurture that.
I think that's very dope. Like,
heck yeah.
Thank you.
The coolest thing in the world, because you're right. We don't know our feminine power because we're not taught that. We're taught is that we have to work hard to do what we have to do to support ourselves and support our families.
Right.
And it's really hard to kind of find that feminine energy when you're told all your life to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
So I
love when it's like in our community, especially because I'm the only girl and the oldest girl. So of course I'm raised to be like, my parents always joke like you're the third parent because you're just it's a thing ingrained in our community where you just girls are raised, especially if you're the only girl, you're raised to be like that strong daughter. Like my mom is strong, my grandmothers are strong, but they've also in their own rights, my mom is a very strong woman and somehow still is very like soft. Like she's, I don't know how she does it. It's like I know she's strong, but she's very like delicate. And I've always, when I was younger, I kind of was like, I viewed it as a weakness, but as I've gotten older, I'm like, I want to be delicate and soft too. And, you know, rest in my feminine power and just be chilling on the couch and stuff.
Right.
So that's really, you know, Untamed started because of that, but it's evolved. Like we're almost three years in, and it's, I always tell people, as I evolve, the company evolves. So it's like, the more I learn, the more people I meet, the more I'm like, oh, more people need to know about different type of sex toys, or know about different type of lubes, or know about how to work with our energy. So it's like the more knowledge I learn, the more I'm like, okay, I want everybody else to know this too and be able to empower and use it in their life too.
And do you have any events coming up in the area anytime soon that we can check out?
We are working on several events for the summer. So we just had our annual speed dating, which was like amazing. And so we're going to do another event at Trez Wine Bar in April. We don't have a date yet. We're working that out right now. So we're going to do another speed dating event at Trez. We're going to do another speed dating during Pride Month at Trez as well. And then working on last year we did Bringing the Heat. It was a virtual retreat, obviously, but it was so good. We're working on bringing that back as a one day in-person retreat. So a few things we're ironing out, especially now that Texas is like, hey, we're open. Here, open.
Right.
but definitely will be a few things in the pipeline coming up that we'll be promoting in the next couple of weeks for sure.
Okay, please let us know. We are very open and ready to be there because we love
it. I appreciate coming on and just being able to talk to you. I love sharing ideas and just hearing feedback and perspective of what's going on in the world and how other women are viewing things too.
Yes, ma'am.
And would you be able to tell them your social media handles where we can find you for information?
Yes. So business side, untamedlingerie.com, untamedlingerie on Instagram, be untamed on Twitter. And then my personal Instagram is Sheridan LeBay. It's kind of hard to spell, so hopefully y'all, maybe it'll be like in the description or something.
Yes, we'll put
it in there. Yeah, but no, we'll have a lot. We have a lot of good things coming up, like a lot of good things. So I'm excited to roll out a lot of stuff. So stay tuned.
One of the things that I noticed on your page from your speed dating event is that one of the couples that actually met there, they got engaged.
Yes.
So I think that is like a major
amazing. And they're such a good couple. I didn't even know. So I know both of their friends that invited them to the event. And so the bride's friend, she messaged me in like November and she was like, hey, they're getting engaged soon. And I'm like, who? And she's like, my friend, they met at y'all's event. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, they met at y'all's event. This is last February. And then got engaged in November. And I was like, what? So those are always like, those make me feel good. So I'm like, okay, you know, you're doing things and you're like, hopefully it's being impactful. Hopefully people are enjoying it. So this year we brought it back and we actually made our own Untamed deck of cards. So it was like, people loved it. It was all type of crazy questions in there, but it's like questions you would wish you could know about people early on and not 2 months in. So some were like crazy freaky questions, some were just like intimate, tell me about yourself, like without me having to come out and really just ask. So it was really exciting. I think people really enjoyed, even last year we kind of let them ask their own questions, but every round we would throw out an oddball question. So they would wait, we would let them go on a date. They would be like 2 or 3 minutes in and they would be like, okay, here's your untamed question. It would be something like off the wall, like out of the box question. But I think people enjoy like the taboo. Like all the events that we've had have been very taboo type of like events. Like one of our first events was a game night. So we had adult taboo, and then we made a nasty bingo game, which basically like the bingo chart had all type of like crazy sex stuff on there, like have you had sex in the car, would you have a threesome, like all types of things. You had to go around the room and like talk to people and find out like what applied to them.
Okay. Yeah,
so breaking the barrier,
that's an icebreaker like, right there, right?
Yeah, like getting right. People comfortable talking about things that most of us are doing. It's like everybody's doing it but nobody's talking about it. And we're all just trying to figure it out and learn, but nobody's like coming out and saying, hey, I did this, let me tell you about this experience. Or, hey, I was reading about this, let me tell you what the studies show. So definitely try to push the envelope with our Untamed Nights events of like, here's stuff that you're probably not going to hear about or learn at a usual happy hour, but we're going to throw in like some fun and some sex education all in one.
It's necessary because like you said, we don't know.
And no, we don't know.
That we're doing, we're just kind of
navigating. Blindly the blind.
Yeah, we're just like, this might work. Let's try it.
Yeah.
And then we don't know. So I, like I told you from the beginning, I think it's very dope that you're giving us the opportunity to learn from each other, because sometimes we get in that space and we're afraid to kind of talk to our partners sometime about certain things.
Yeah.
So those questions being in the forefront, you're right there and you're ready.
And it makes you feel empowered. I think if I leave people with nothing else, I just want them to feel empowered to have, I don't want to say tough conversations, but just awkward conversations, like empowered to feel empowered enough to like stand in what you want, like in your life, in your sex life, in your relationship life. You know, you want this type of relationship, like being okay saying that. If you know you want this type of sex life, being okay with saying, this is my weird, crazy kink that I like, but I like it and I'm letting you know about it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that just adds to people's confidence when you feel empowered to just be truthful about who you are.
I totally agree. And we want to thank you so much for you bringing your perspective, yourself, your business. We are so in love with everything that you're doing and everything that you're putting out there. And we want to empower every woman that comes on our show, that comes across the board. And we are here for Untamed Marketing.
Thank y'all.
We're going to end with our euphemism.
So I have a quote for Women's History Month that, you know, this is basically where we kind of give like the quote of the month or the word of the month for the, for the listener. So the quote of the month will be, the way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them. Ida B. Wells. And I think that fits
very relevant to the conversation. That was the perfect quote. Yeah.
That was it. So we want to thank you for watching Lux Lifestyle with our very special guest, Miss Sheridan LeBay.
Yes, me.
I want to make sure I said it right. All right. And we thank you. I'm your girl, L'Oreal.
And I'm Andrea.
And you just listened to Lux Lifestyle.
Bye. Thank you.